Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of your hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our fortress. You may be seated. The theme today is whirlwind voices. Now, I think those disciples, they were being roughed up on that sea, and they were wishing that the Lord of the universe would wake up, weren't they? That maybe they could hear a voice that would calm that sea. They were restless. And I guess that's where we are sometimes, too. Together, let's read the text. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind storm. God speaks to people in many different ways down through the ages. To Elijah on Mount Horeb, God does not speak through the wind, nor through the earthquake, nor through the fire. God speaks in a still, small voice. In an inspiring dream, when Jacob is fleeing from his brother Esau, because you know the reason. He took away the birthright. He took away the blessing. There wasn't much left for him but to get away. But God came to him in a dream. We call it Jacob's ladder. The angels ascending and descending. And the voice of God speaking to him right then, encouraging him to go on, to be a leader, to be faithful to the Lord. Now, there was another great leader of the Lord, Moses. Remember, he fled Egypt as a prince. And then he took care of sheep. And one day, he saw on that mountain a spectacular sight that he had never seen before. A bush that was burning but not consumed. And then, after he led his people out of Egypt, they came back to that same mountain. And there in the lightning and thunder and the shaking of the earth, God spoke to Moses for 40 days. In today's text from Job, it isn't in the midst of a whirlwind. It is something else that is happening. The whirlwind comes, and out of it comes this still, small voice. It's almost like, I don't know if any of you have experienced it, probably not, the hurricane. We see it on TV, and we hear about it. You know, there's this rush of great wind, and then there's a calm, a very, very calm in the eye of that hurricane. Maybe that's what happened with Job. In the eye of that storm, that whirlwind, God speaks to him in a very still, small voice. No matter how God speaks to his people, his message is always consistent. God's great love created this world. God's great love sent his son Jesus to redeem this world. God's great love sent his Holy Spirit to inspire us to be faithful to him. In return, God simply asks for his people to praise him, to offer thanksgiving to God today, for Father's Day for sure, to thank him for fathers and what fathers have brought into this world, to thank him for all the gifts that he has given to us. He expects us, the crown of his genius, human beings, to offer him praise and thanksgiving, to offer him praise in the presence of this awesome God who cares so much for you. The disciples experience something else, don't they? They are in the presence of God's Son. He's sleeping in the boat. But they're shaking in their boots. The storm is bothering them. And then Jesus gets up, and he just simply stills the storm. Their response, what is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. That's the whole idea behind this whirlwind voice. God expects his people to be filled with fear and love for him. That's why Martin Luther starts those commandments, the explanation, we should fear and love God. The Lord and Savior of the universe expects us to glorify his name and to honor his majesty. Every sermon I preach has one main goal or purpose: to be confronted by God, that God speaks to us, and we listen, and we respond with thankful hearts, grateful for all that he has done and all that he is doing. At the end of each sermon, I would hope that every one of us could say, today, I walked with God. Today, I've been in his presence. I felt him inspiring, touching my heart, my soul. I've been blessed by God. But that's not an easy thing to do, is it? To praise God all the time. To praise him wherever we are. It's not easy. Why? Well, there's the devil. And the devil is working on every single human being. And the more Christian we are, the more dedicated we are, the more he tries to convert us to his thinking. And so it's difficult to be where two or three are gathered together in his name. It takes a little pushing from the Spirit to bring us into his house that we might worship him and honor his name. It's so easy for us in the busyness of our lives. After all, we all got our routines, and those routines have been changed over the last year, haven't they? It's so easy to let those sometimes difficult burdens that we bear to get in the way of our honoring God with a joyful heart. At Father's Day, we celebrate the goodness of parents, those who brought us into this world. And for many of us, they were good fathers. And for some of us, it's the memories of the fathers that are left. And we are thankful for that. We are thankful for what the lineage and heritage we had in bringing us to faith and to recognize our purpose in life, to praise God. But I want you to think today of another father and his special day. It was a total disaster for Job. He is pushed beyond limits that most of us wouldn't be able to endure. All of his children wiped out. What a Father's Day gift that is, huh? And then all of his servants and all of his animals. Everything he possessed except his own body, which is now inflicted with sores everywhere. And he's supposed to celebrate Father's Day? There's supposed to be joy in his heart? Ah, it's tough, isn't it? And then on top of that, his three closest friends, and maybe you can name your closest friends right now. His three closest friends come to him. And they sit patiently for 7 days and wait. But at the end, man, have they been thinking. They have been thinking of all the reasons why Job is suffering this. You are a sinner. The law of God is nailing you, Job. You have failed in miserable ways. Repent. And then a fourth one comes. It doesn't get any better. How Job suffers. His best friends, even his wife, try to undermine his faith in God. But Job doesn't give up. But he does want something from God. He wants to know why. He wants to know, why, God, is this happening to me? Give me an answer. Come on. Why are these things happening in my life? Is that the same thing you've asked? I know you have. on any number of occasions. Why, God? Why am I going through this now? Why this pain? Why this suffering? Why this difficulty? Why, God? And Job vents his anger at God. And probably you have as well. And that's all right. God is big enough to handle your anger when you need to vent. At least you recognize there is a God. And sometimes you're fully frustrated. And that's okay too. God can handle your frustrations. And sometimes you accuse God, and that's okay. He can handle all of that because He is God. God wants us to call on His name. But His response may not be what we were expecting. Take, for instance, Job. Come on, God, give me an answer. And then finally, out of the whirlwind, a voice speaks, a gentle whisper. Listen, Job. And Job listens. But it isn't at all what Job is expecting. Not at all. When God speaks, we need to realize He's in control. When we demand answers, God comes back with questions. And that's what He does with Job. So let's say together what God said to Job. What is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Would a plumber give advice to a surgeon? Would a lawyer instruct a chiropractor? Would a factory worker tell a farmer how to produce his crops? Who is this that darkens counsel without knowledge? Job, you simply don't know everything. You do not have all the information. That holds true for us too. It certainly does. We don't have all the information. We haven't lived as long as God. We don't know as much as He does. So God speaks to us. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Do you really have all the answers? I know, fathers, you think you do, don't you? Just listen to your wife once in a while. Listen to your children. None of us have all the answers. Certainly not when it comes to the greater knowledge of God who is eternal. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Let's say together what God continues to speak to Job. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? God does not answer one single question of Job's. Not one of his complaints. He does not set the record straight at all. But God, by his very nature, doesn't have to, because he is God. He speaks, and that's all that matters. God, the Almighty, the Invisible, the Holy, the Perfect, the Righteous, enters our world. And when He does, we all stand in awe. Once more, let's hear the explanation of Martin Luther when he talks about how we begin that commandments explanation. Let's say it together. And put an emphasis on the third word. We should fear and love God. That's what we do. For God is holy. And God will continue to come to you. Sometimes in the eye of a storm. Sometimes in a still small voice. Sometimes in the calm of the sea or in the pounding of its waves. Sometimes in the form of bread and wine like today. Sometimes as the word is preached to us in its purity and truth. God will come to you. And when he does, we do like Job. We pray. We praise. We repent. We ask. And we yield. And we do that now as we conclude with this hymn stanza. Let's say it together. Ashamed of Jesus, sooner far, let evening blush to own a star. He sheds the beams of light divine o'er this benighted soul of mine. May the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.